Hey everyone, welcome to the Armour Hurwitz podcast show. Today I'm truly honored to have Ari Applebaum as my guest. Ari is Audiobird's VP of Marketing Operation. Ari, thanks for being here.
Hi, it's great to be on your show. I'm a big fan, Omri.
So, Ari, can you please tell us a little bit about your marketing journey? You know, you've been around.
I've been around. Oh, you're making me sound old. I've been in marketing for about 15 years. So I guess, yeah, I've been around. I started right out of university with an internship at a PR firm, a New York firm called Ruder Finn. They've since split up into two firms, Ruder Finn and Finn Partners. And I spent 3 years there and I learned a lot of what I know about branding and positioning and marketing in general there. That was a great ride. I got to work with lots of startups that have since disappeared, but also some really big players. So that was a great way to start my marketing career. Then I moved to Boston and spent a few years with a nonprofit. It was my first in-house position. I did marketing for them. It's a nonprofit called the David Project. And I was also a public speaker there. So I got into that world as well. And it was fascinating. I had a great mentor from Harvard, did that, came back to Israel. And then went back into for-profit because you have to also make a salary, right? went back to Finn Partners, became VP there, running their tech practice in Israel. Went into another boutique niche PR firm called Venture First. You know, every career needs to have some failures. So that was a failed gig. We weren't able to really build it into something bigger. And I left, and that's when I decided to go in-house. You know, the beauty of going in-house is you get to sink your teeth into something much deeper. You get a much better knowledge of the product and sales, operations, R&D. So I was very excited to do that. And I spent a few years as a VP marketing at a great startup called AnyClip, still thriving, doing great stuff in video, AI, and management. Then I did some consulting. And my last two positions are AppsFlyer, a great unicorn mobile attribution player, where I was head of communications, and it was great to be a part of a 80-person marketing team and understand the complexities of that in a truly global company where we were active in 30 markets. And most recently, I joined Audioverse the less than 2 months ago. Great company. We're doing some incredible things in the audio space, and I started there about 6-7 weeks ago as VP marketing.
How is marketing involved throughout your career? I bet 15 years ago, maybe it was more, you know, PR based, and now it's very fast paced digital marketing, ads everywhere.
I think in many ways, it went from just being an art form to being more scientific, right? And, you know, I remember when social media was just starting, things were not measurable. We used to use the phone a lot. And really things have become a lot more analytics, data driven. You know, there's nothing new there, but what I think is important is that people are taking a step back and really realizing that the analytics and the data, they can't be built on nothing. And the importance of brand is actually in the era of so much noise is probably greater than ever. So I like seeing this shift of the pendulum back to let's build a strong brand before all the layers of science on top of that.
You know, one of the things I admire following you on LinkedIn is you always have such a simple way to demonstrate marketing. You know, every text you write or every copy you write is so clean and precise and like no fluff. Can you elaborate on that? Like, how do you view it?
So I think the key skill that every marketer needs is writing. You can't communicate ideas. Obviously, there's a lot of ways to communicate ideas, but the most basic one is writing. You have to work and hone in on, and I practice and work on my writing a lot. And I think a lot of mistakes that young marketers make, and you can actually look at samples of marketers and you could see how fresh they are, is trying to be too wordy, right? Trying to talk in jargon, trying to make things unnecessarily complex. And what I learned from my first writing mentor was, you know, you have to be casual, right? You have to talk in a very, very straightforward, simple, not simplistic, but a simple tone. So oftentimes I'll look at what I wrote and say, okay, how can I simplify it further again and again and again. And I'll do it a few times until I reach like the most basic, and oftentimes that cleanest form of communication, that's what ends up being the strongest.
That is amazing. And you obviously, you know, you've obviously been playing in two fields, I guess, you know, marketing and also PR, right? Communications. How do you see the difference in writing between those two genres? I came from PR as well. So I know that, you know, PR, you're really trying to reach that, you know, that the big audience. And with marketing, with ads specifically, you're trying to make the ads, you know, in high tech, you're trying to make it very, sometimes even complex, so you can filter out unrelevant audience, you know, because you're paying by click, you want to target specific people. So how do you see those two genres playing together in writing?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think to me, it's PR and marketing are intertwined. And I think actually, I would say PR is part of marketing. But in the sense of the message, I think at the end of the day, you still need to tell a story, right? You have to address a pain point, you have to address a specific need and communicate your solution accordingly. You're right that if you want to filter out and sort of drive the price down, then you do, you know, you play around with the wording and you will maybe add some jargon back in. But first you have to filter it down into that really compelling, simple story in any case, right? In both cases, where don't forget that with PR, still you're appealing to a very specific target audience. And if you're going to trade media, you do have to tell a story that, you know, makes it clear that you speak their language. So I think there's a lot of similarity.
You know, being a VP of marketing, you're the head of strategy. You're the head of strategy. What are your key principles in building a marketing strategy?
So, you know, what keeps me up at night is how do I differentiate Audio Burst, and how do I really make an impact? I think most I've worked with dozens of Israeli startups, and in 90% of the cases, when you look at the competitors or potential competitors, they're usually much, much bigger, right? And much already have created established brands. And then there's this interesting question of how do you do more with less? How do you punch above your weight? You need to be very creative. So yes, a budget, you need a budget. And when I was looking for positions recently, I wasn't, some marketers love the, you know, seed stage where you have nothing and all you have is creativity. I need to have some kind of a team and a budget and to be able to do some things. But even with a budget of say a few hundred thousand dollars, you need to match what other companies are spending sometimes tens or hundreds of millions of dollars on. So I think the core of the strategy is, again, getting the brand right, getting the differentiation right, getting a story that's super compelling. Because once you really have that down, and then come up with creative ideas of communicating that story to target audiences, that's where you can have a real impact and really stand out.
In terms of we talked about strategy right now, but in terms of tactics, do you have any preference? Have you seen any certain channels that have been, you know, playing the strong game for you throughout your career?
So as I said, when I was getting started, there was almost no social media. So I've been obviously following and I've been very involved in the watching the progress and progression. I think social media has been strongest, both organic and paid. Specifically, I'm a very big fan of LinkedIn. I think it's just incredible. And even in the last 2-3 years where you see an incredible amount of content created around explaining why LinkedIn is so unique, I'm still very, very bullish. I still think it's incredibly underestimated, and I still think people who are investing in LinkedIn now are going to reap the benefits in the future. It's possibly Microsoft's, you know, best bet.
Are you talking about LinkedIn organic and also LinkedIn ads?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you elaborate on your if you want to, on Audio Burst LinkedIn ad strategy?
I don't want to get into the specific specifics of that because I'm still building it with my team. But you know, the bottom line is it's not surprising. LinkedIn, you know, leads generated through LinkedIn ads are amongst the most expensive and yet most valuable, right? Most companies are still doing that. it sort of shortens your the journey in the funnel, and gives you the most powerful segmentation. So I'm a big fan.
So how do you think PR has evolved in the social media era? You know, before social media was, you know, it was all about those media outlets, all about those magazines, all about those viewerships. And right now people are resharing articles on social media. How do you see the media outlets and PR in general playing out in this new digital age?
So, you know, I still believe in PR. One of my first moves when I joined Audioburst was hiring a PR firm. If they're watching this, they better deliver.
Who's the PR firm?
I won't name them here, but they're New York based. They're good. Oh, I've worked with them in the past, but you know, I said, this is what we need to do. And now they need to give us results. Mm-hmm. The idea is that PR is still important because there's still the benefit to consistent coverage in the relevant publications. And it's important to be in the relevant publications. And there's something about getting into top tier publications, business pubs, tech, and even the trade publications that your audiences read, that creates a sort of legitimacy and credibility that few other things do. I think that at the same time, most people don't read more than a 2, 3, 5 at most publications mm-hmm. regularly. And what that means is that even if you get into the right publications, you're not going to get to a lot of the relevant audiences. And that's where social media comes in, right? So yes, you need to do PR, you need to get those hits, but the amplification is so important. You know, when I was at AppsFlyer, we did a very big campaign around a milestone that we hit at the company. We got an enormous amount of coverage globally in many languages. And yet what really made the campaign successful was the social media element. So we mm-hmm. did significant employee engagement and advocacy, and we got people to share lots and lots of assets. And the combination of the press coverage with the social media campaign was really phenomenal.
What are your opinions about doing paid advertising for the PR pieces? So taking one of those pieces and then putting paid media, using it for paid media, basically.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, right? So let's say you get an article in TechCrunch or in Forbes or whatever it is. There's a limit to how much you can do with organic. Placing some media by behind getting that to your target audience and getting the, at the end of the day, most of marketing is about third-party endorsement, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's having a reporter write about you, an analyst getting an award, or a customer with a success story. So much is building your brand by having good people saying good things about you, mm-hmm. To simplify. When you get a good hit like that, using that instead of just a generic ad copy, I think it is, unfortunately, I haven't done enough of that, but I do plan on it. And I think it does show results.
What is like if you had to give one advice that you truly believe in regarding marketing, like a one-liner, what would it be?
A one-liner for good marketing. I think I'll say it again. You have to ask yourself, what do you do best? How are you different? And how can you communicate it to the market effectively? I think you need to, that's one advice. The second advice is you have to be number one. You have to be seen as the first in your category. And of course, if the category doesn't exist, as every marketer knows, you need to create it. Really? Right? So I think category leadership is something that I learned very early on in my career and really has guided me. And it does prove successful. I did it at AnyClip, doing it here at Audioburst. It really does work. So I think marketers who are focused on differentiation, storytelling, and category leadership will be successful.
Amazing. That's amazing. I've got two last questions for you. Those are a little bit more personal. So the first question will be, what book or books have influenced you the most throughout your life?
Cool. So when early on in my career, I read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It was one of the first self-help business books that came out in the 80s, I think. And really, I took from there the importance of being a lot more thoughtful about my life and my career, about work-life balance, about putting down a vision statement for yourself, just like you do it for your company, and thinking through your priorities and values in life. So I've really, since then, I've read dozens of similar books, but he was really, Stephen Covey was the hero who started this movement. The second one I would say is 21 Habits, Immutable, 21 Immutable Rules of Marketing. It's a real classic, also dating myself. It's also probably 20 plus years old. But, and some of the examples, they're outdated about IBM and the such. But it's really, you talk about category leadership, you talk about branding. The principles in that book really hold true today. And I go back to that book from now and, now and then. And I would say a third one is coming from brand and PR. As I was transitioning into more holistic marketing, I read Growth Hacker Marketing by Ryan Holiday. And although things have evolved a little bit since then, it really helped me sort of get this mindset of, A/B testing, really measuring everything in marketing and going from a pure brand play to a much more sophisticated marketing approach, which I really hold dear.
That's amazing. Ryan Holiday is amazing. Yeah, I love reading his stuff.
Yeah.
My last question for you is, how do you handle stress?
Well, one way is to spend time with my kids. I have four kids. So it's a different kind of stress when I try to get rid of stress from work. Being with my kids creates different kind of stress and also a lot of positive experiences. And then at work, I tend to rub, but when I want to focus, I rub my hands together like this. And I realize that now, because working from home, my wife complains about it. I love music, listening to music. I read a lot. I listen to a lot of podcasts and audiobooks, which is what drew me to AudioBurst, because we're doing something really innovative in that space. And this year, I've taken on two new things, challenges. One is running. I've gone from zero now to 10K running, and sourdough baking, which is really fun.
Nice. That's creative.
It relieves stress for sure.
Nice. I've got a bonus question, because I got to ask you this. What are your go-to marketing tools, software wise?
I use a lot of the tools that other marketers use, and I don't think it'll surprise anybody if we're in Salesforce and HubSpot and various analytics tools. I will say something that really saves me as a marketer is there's so much good content out there that you're not able to read, and you have a million tabs open, right? So years ago, I started using Pocket. I don't know if you've heard of it, Get Pocket. It's a great little plugin that saves readings for later, and now it supports also video and other things. So it's made me a much better marketer, because I'm constantly saving lots of great content for later, and it waits for me. It has also a text-to-speech plugin. So sometimes while I'm driving, I'll go through 20 articles in one commute. So Pocket is actually, it's not a marketing tool, but it's made me a much, much better marketer.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I should definitely try it. Sounds good.
Yeah, give it a try.
Yeah. Ari, thanks so much for your time, man. I really appreciate it. I think a lot of people can, learn so much from you, and really, young marketers can learn how to frame things in a more simpler way like you do. I think that's a great thing.
Thank you, Amir. I really like being on this show, and I'm happy to connect with any of your followers and have similar conversations.
Awesome. Ari, thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye, Amir.